ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to The Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
And I think kids should be involved in sports and in other activity. There's so many things they could be involved in. I think that's wonderful. I think they should be. I think that's really good for them. But we've become so busy that there's no time at home to sit at the dinner table and talk. So we have no idea what's going on in our kids' lives. Sometimes you have to say, what do you want to do? Pick one or two things. This is what we're going to focus on. You can go to these things. But the 700 other things that you want to do, we can't. Because we need time together to get to know each other, to find out what's going on in the family. I think men, we have to fight for our families. And one of the tragedies we see today is look at how many fathers are not even involved in their families anymore. That's horrible. That's horrible. They need to be involved. And if you're a single mom out there, praise the Lord that you're able to do this. God will give you the strength you need to handle it, because I know it's hard. But the ideal role in the picture of the family is a husband and wife. You know why? Because kids are crazy. You need two people, right? I mean, come on. One's down. You need the other person to help you. Come along. It's almost like tag team wrestling, right? You tag the other person. You're in now. You need that. And they need that balance. They need to see what a husband and wife is all about. We lead best. The third point is we lead best when we love the most. Exactly. It's not by lording over people. It's by loving them, loving our wives, letting them see that, letting our kids see that we love them. Look how much Christ loves us. Okay, now we're representing him in the family. Love your wife. And really, we're on a mission. You know, it's beyond just living for ourselves. I realize that that's probably not a popular thing to say today, but it's not about us. Once you got married, now it's about your spouse. And then once you have children, it's your spouse and your children. Don't negate that. Your wife is that important. And you need to serve in the home before you serve anywhere else. You need to have your priorities right. You know, I realize that. And there's a lot of pastors and a lot of people who feel that ministry is the most important thing. Being involved in ministry. You're a pastor, Joe. That's the most important thing. Everything else goes behind that. I totally disagree. My biggest ministry is my wife and then my children. Why? Because you can read in Ephesians that the husband is a picture of Christ and the wife is a picture of the church. And I don't want to mess up that picture by messing up my marriage. And if I don't invest time with my wife, it's going to be bad. And I'm thankful. My wife, you know, several years ago showed me this because I was busy. And taking a day off just was not something that I did. And she says, you need to take one day off. And so now I take Fridays off. She sleeps in a little bit on Friday, so I do some studying. But when she's awake, I try to. Does it always work? Sometimes it doesn't, because ministry, you know, it just doesn't. And she understands that. But I am doing far better. I'm taking that time, going places. You know, we'll drive up to Sturgeon Bay for quiche. Please delete that from the CD. But yeah, I like the quiche there. They up in Sturgeon Bay, there's a place there that makes great. And I will go to Al Johnson's. We'll drive 2 hours for breakfast. Why? why would you go that far? Because we're in the car together. Well, you can talk. We go to the restaurant. We talk. We can go around Door County. We just spend time together. You know, it's that important. I think so. I think it's very important. Guys, we got to wear the pants in the family once again. We got to lead the family. We got to show that we care so much for our wife that we are going to help them to grow in the Lord. And they need to understand that we love them so much. The problem today is the world calls that toxic masculinity. God says that's the role of the family. That's your role as a husband. That's your role as a wife. It's not toxic masculinity. And he'll bless it. For Barak, he lacked the faith to go forward unless Deborah went with him in this battle. In fact, one writer said Barak preferred the inspiration of Deborah's presence to the invisible but certain help of Almighty God. He's mentioned in Hebrews 11 as one of the heroes of faith, but his faith lay rather in Deborah's influence with God than in his own. Thus, he missed the crown of that great day of victory. Absolutely. He was afraid to go forward. So we've seen the call by God to go into this battle. We looked at the lack of faith on the part of Barak to go into this battle alone. And we're going to look at next the loss of God's blessing. And as you're going to see, this tells me that Barak did something wrong here. He didn't walk by faith and he lost out. Look at verse 9 here in Judges 4. So she said, Deborah said, I will surely go with you. Nevertheless, there will be no glory for you in the journey you are taking. For the Lord will sell Sisera into the hand of a woman. Then Deborah arose and went with Barak to Kadesh. So we see Deborah tell Barak that she'll go into this battle with him. And then there's the but. Not necessarily a but a nevertheless. Because of the lack of faith in God on Barak's part, because he trusted more in Deborah, the victory is not only going to really be given to Deborah, but also to another woman, Jael. In other words, Barak, because of his lack of faith, is going to miss out on the blessings that God had for him already. Remember, the Lord told Barak, and then the Lord spoke again to him through Deborah. Has not the Lord God of Israel commanded? He's already told you this. I'm just telling you again. Go and deploy troops at Mount Tabor. Take with you 10,000 men of the sons of Naphtali and the sons of Zebulun. And against you I will deploy Sisera, the commander of Jabin's army, with his chariots and his multitude at the river Kishon. And I, God, is going to deliver him into your hand. You know, when God says that I'm going to do this, do you think he's capable of doing it? Absolutely he is. Absolutely. The battle was already won. But for Barak, he had to walk by faith. And then he get the blessing. But he missed out on those blessings because he refused to walk by faith. And I truly believe God wants to use us, but if we refuse to walk, God will raise up another and they will enjoy the spoils of the victory, those blessings. You know, you ladies are studying the book of Esther. You see that perfectly. Mordecai tells Esther, hey, look, you have to go talk to the king. You got to go tell him what's going on, that Haman wants to kill the Jews. And she was fearful. You know, hey, he hasn't wanted to see me for a long time now. I'm afraid. Mordecai basically says, and I'm paraphrasing, look, if you don't go, then God will raise up another. But don't think you're going to be spared from what's coming. And I think God says that to us. Has God called us to do something, to take a step of faith, and we've allowed fear to stop us from going? Wow, that's a hard one, because it's really easy to say, man, if the Lord calls me, I'm ready to go. And then the Lord tells you, I want you to go do this. You want me? And then we start making excuses and everything. You know, Moses did that, remember? The Lord told Moses, you know, you need to go to Pharaoh and talk to him. Let my people go. What was Moses' excuse? Well, you know, I stutter. I don't have a good speech. You know, I got this. God said, well, didn't I form the mouth? Don't you think I know what you're all about, Moses? And if I've called you, I've equipped you to do this. But in a sense, Moses missed out on a little bit of that because God used Aaron for a time to speak for him. Interesting. I am so thankful God calls us to do things and then he's with us all the way through. And yes, they don't always turn out the way that we think they should, but boy, God is always with us. And we have to learn to walk by faith and not by sight, to trust what the Lord has called us to do, because he's more than able to accomplish that task in our life. For me, one of the difficult things for me to do was Vacation Bible School. I can't sing. You know that. My wife, well, thank you. Wow, that hurt. But now she knows. I mean, it's not a secret. It's like saying, you know, Joe, you're not real tall. Well, really? No one told me. But no, I can't sing. And not only do I have to do songs in Vacation Bible School, I have to do the hand motions. Oh my gosh, you know, it's overwhelming. But I knew what the Lord called me to do. Vacation Bible School. So some 10 years ago now, when we first did our first Vacation Bible School, I took the step of faith. And man, it was awesome. Was there fear? Absolutely. I was nervous about it. But I knew what the Lord called me to do. And I can't tell you the number of blessings that God bestowed upon me and the people that are involved in VBS. You know, the children will bless you more than you will ever know. And I'm not doing that. I shouldn't have put that sign-up sheet for VBS out. Now everyone's going to feel guilty, right, about signing up. That was not my intention. But the blessings that the children give you is incredible. And first day is always tough. But as you learn, they learn what you're doing. You learn what you're doing. It's awesome. And, you know, here we are 10 years later. I can't tell you, there's at least one child after Vacation Bible School that will come up and say, when are we doing this again? Are you kidding me? We just finished it. Oh my gosh, I need a vacation. But they're excited about it. They can't wait to do it again. What a blessing. And getting a hug from a child. You know, there are people today, oh, don't hug kids, man. You're going to get yourself in. You know what? Are we making kids afraid to give hugs to people? How sad. We live in a society today where you can't do that. I'm sorry. If a kid wants to give me a hug, I will give them a hug because I love them. I care for them. That's why we're doing VBS. We want them to see Jesus. But what if I didn't take that step of faith? I could have refused. I can't sing, dance, anything like that. I'm busy. Absolutely. I don't have the time. I could come up with 100 reasons why I shouldn't take that step of faith. But I know what God called me to do. And I took those steps of faith, and he did it. Through me, through the rest of the people involved, those that were praying, and the blessings. So, you know, I don't know where you're at this morning. I don't know what the Lord has put upon your heart. But when the Lord is speaking to you, encouraging you, maybe even using others to come, like Deborah came to Barak and try to encourage him, obey his voice, take those steps of faith, and see the blessings he'll pour out upon your life as you walk by faith. As we finish up this morning, we're going to be looking at our last point, and it's interesting in that Barak was not really trusting in the Lord. We're going to see his trust was in Deborah. Look at verse 10 here in Judges 4. And Barak called Zebulun and Naphtali to Kadesh. He went up with 10,000 men under his command, and Deborah went with him. I don't know. As I read the story, it almost seems like Barak put more trust in Deborah than the Lord. The Lord told him, go into battle. He didn't do it. Deborah said, hey, remember the Lord told you to go in battle. Well, I'll go if you go. And now Deborah's with him and he goes into battle. Now, some don't see it that way. They don't see a problem with what Barak is doing here. One writer put it like this. He said, nevertheless, Barak and all who went with him showed real courage and trust in God to go out against Sisera and his army. They had essentially no weapons to fight with against a technologically advanced army, having 900 chariots of iron. In addition, God led them to fight on a plain, which gave great advantage to the forces with chariots. Did Barak have some faith? I guess so. But I think he had more faith in Deborah going along with him than with the Lord. Because, again, the Lord already spoke to him about this battle and what he was to do. Deborah, again, reconfirmed it, like I said. And now that Deborah's with him, he's ready to go. Again, another writer said, Barak's refusal to go on this mission without Deborah raises questions. He may have been afraid to go into battle without Deborah's comforting company, Probably he wanted to have this prophetess with him so he could obtain God's guidance through her if he needed to do so. A third explanation follows. His mistrust of his own strength was such that he felt too weak to carry out the command of God. He wanted divine enthusiasm for the conflict, and this, the presence of the prophetess, was to infuse into both Barak and the army that was to be gathered around him. I don't know the motivation, but he needed to trust in the Lord. Men, when God calls you to be the leader in the family and you feel inadequate, good. You should. Because now you're going to have to trust in the Lord. But don't let that stop you from taking the step of faith. We see that Barak was really punished in a sense. He missed out on the blessing, like we talked about. So he puts his trust in this person, instead of the Lord who already promised him victory. Think, well, okay, I get it. You know, you said it about a million times this morning. I get it. What does that have to do with me? What are you putting your trust in to accomplish the things of God? Are you putting it in money, a job, a talent, this or that? You know, and it's really easy to say, no, I'm not doing that, when you're not involved in that situation. Or maybe it's easy to say when you're within the four walls of this building. But what happens when you go outside? And now you have to apply these things to your life. Are we resting in the Lord, or are we resting in something else? And for me, it's a lesson that the Lord is constantly teaching me, and I'm sure with you as well. Because, you know, it's really easy again to say, yeah, I'm trusting in the Lord. I all the way. And then something happens. We're faced with a situation which is overwhelming to us. Oh my gosh, what am I going to do? Who am I going to call? Who's going to go with me? And the Lord's like, hello, I'm up here. Come to me. Let me guide you. Let me direct you. Where is our trust, in the situation or in the Lord? In what we know or in the Lord? Our trust has to be in the Lord. And when he calls us, may we have that faith to step out and do what he's called us to do. But boy, fear is a powerful, powerful enemy in our lives. It can cause us to just stop dead in our tracks and not go anywhere. And let me share this story with you. On July 21st, 1861, raw Yankee recruits, marched toward the Confederate Army, camping at Bull Run, 30 miles southwest of Washington. The Union soldiers were overconfident and acted like they were headed toward a sporting event. Listen to this. Congressmen, ladies, and all sorts of spectators trailed along with lunch baskets to observe the fun. But the courage of the Confederates, who stood their ground like a stone wall, giving their leader, Thomas J. Jackson, his nickname, and the arrival of Confederate reinforcements threw the Union forces into a panic. Even though the Union had superior forces, did you get that? They had superior forces. One observer wrote, "We called to them, tried to tell them there was no danger, called them to stop, implored them to stand. We called them cowards, denounced them in the most offensive terms, but all in vain. A cruel, crazy, mad, hopeless panic possessed them." Fear and panic have a way of doing that, overwhelming us emotionally, even though we have a spiritual resources to deal with the situation. We're better able to face into fearful situations and stop a cruel, crazy, mad, hopeless panic from possessing us if we prepare ourselves soberly for the challenges life will hand us. And we do that by being in God's Word, by submitting our lives to Him, by listening to Him. Paul said in Philippians 4:13, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." He didn't say, "I can do all things because I am so great and strong." In Paul's mind, he couldn't do it. But in Christ, he can do anything that God wanted him to do. I mean, think about the children of Israel when they were doing battle against Jericho. Jericho was a fortified city, right? There's no way the children of Israel should be able to take this fortified city. And yet God gave them some battle instructions. Walk around the city. Well, what's that going to do? Nothing. Don't say a word. On the seventh day, walk around seven times. Then shout. blow the trumpets, the walls will come down. Okay, does anyone else have a plan? Because that's a really crummy battle plan. No, they didn't say that. What did they do? They walked by faith. And here's the thing. All those people inside the city of Jericho probably started gathering on the walls. Oh, here they come again. Losers, come on. You're not going to say anything? Mocking, making fun of them. But the Lord said, don't say anything to them. And they obeyed the Lord. They walked by faith. That's the amazing thing to me. And on that seventh day, when they blew the trumpets and shouted, those walls came tumbling down and they overtook the city because they walked by faith and not by sight. And we look at things that are going on in our own lives or in this nation itself. You know, we see some of the horrendous stuff happening. You know, how can we handle this? How can we defeat these enemies? You left God out of the picture. Are you praying? Are you seeking direction from God? You know, my prayer is, Lord, how do we minister to these kids in the school system that are hurting? You know, they've lost hope. How many kids are committing suicide these days? I mean, man, when you're a kid, you should be excited. It should be the greatest time of your life. And yet, there's no hope. Someone was just sharing about this new music that's out that basically focuses on suicide. Do we really need to tell kids, encourage them, this is what you need to do? No, let's give them hope. Where's our hope in Jesus? I don't know about you, but man, ever since I've become a Christian, my hope's always been in Him. And through the darkest of times, I knew He was always there. Never forget that. Pray, Lord, I don't know how to reach all these people. You do. How do we get to them? I'm so thankful for the radio station and the internet. Because I can't tell you the number of people who write or call or email me saying, oh, we listen to the station all the time. Thank you for the blessing because it really encourages me. We got people who are even unsaved listening to the station. Go figure. All that's on the station is pretty much teaching. Very little music, more on the weekends than Monday through Friday. But all teaching really Monday through Friday. And they're listening to the Word of God. And God's Word is living and powerful. It won't return void. It will accomplish in each heart. I don't know about you, but man, I'd be listening to the station and something I'm going through, I can't tell you the number of times a teacher will be teaching on that subject. Like, what are the odds? Well, with God, it doesn't matter. He is so amazing. Learn to walk by faith. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. What a wonderful thing that is. So this morning, look at these 4 points real quickly again. The call by God. You know, as God calls us, may we take those steps of faith, look to Him to be the strength of our lives. Because He's always calling us to do things. We just need to be listening, and then we need to take those steps. A lack of faith will cause us to stop dead in our tracks. You know, fear will do that. You need to look to the Lord to be the strength of your life. The loss of God's blessings is seen as we don't take the steps of faith, because we're blessed so much as we serve the Lord, as we walk by faith. And the last point that we looked at is the trust in Deborah. Don't trust in anyone or anything besides the Lord. He needs to be the strength of our lives, as I've said. So men, be men. Be the spiritual leaders in your home. Women, be women and serve the Lord faithfully. Because when there is order in the home, there is the blessing of God. May we not lose sight of that. And may we walk by faith and see the victories, the blessings the Lord has for us as we do. He wants to bless us. He's called us to do things. And boy, what a blessing it is to take that step of faith and see what God is going to do, not only in us, but through us. Let's pray. Father, we thank You so much for Your word this morning. And Lord, not an easy subject, especially in the days we're living in, where political correctness seems to be at the forefront. And, you know, being a man is a bad thing in the world's eyes. But in Your eyes, men have a role. In Your eyes, women have a role within the family. And we're so thankful for that, Lord. Again, we look at the Garden of Eden. We look at the beautiful picture between Adam and Eve. how they complemented each other, and then sin destroyed that. But thank you, Jesus, for trying to restore that in our lives. And we still have to deal with the flesh. We still have those battles. But Lord, your desire is that restoration of the family unit. We pray for our families here this morning, those listening on the radio, the internet. We pray for the children, Lord, that you would protect them and watch over them, keep them from the dangers that are out there. And Lord, help us men be men and lead our families, protect them, love them, care for them, watch over them, help them to grow in their walk with you. We thank you and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word, fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word?
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.